Who was the greatest teacher that ever lived? We're going to be talking about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Tell you what, I have a feeling this is going to be an adventure. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and as you may have heard in that little intro, I'm having troubles with my voice tonight. I am recovering from a cold. If you've been with me all week, you've been you realize that I'm feeling okay, but my voice doesn't sound too good. I apologize in advance for that, but I'm glad that I can be with you here on the program today. We are going to address this question of who was the greatest teacher that ever lived. I'm sure you know who that was, since we've been talking about Jesus throughout this Lenten retreat. We're going to be talking about Jesus and his radical teaching. In addition, we'll look at the Mass readings for today, which is Thursday, Thursday, February 18th. The Gospel today is one of my all-time favorite passages. So we will look at that. We'll take a look at what Jesus said. And he said some good stuff. So we're going to talk about that on the program. I want to thank you for joining me today. I want to thank you for your participation in this Lenten radio retreat. Also, I want to share a little bit of news with you. I'm excited about this. My new book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, it is now in the warehouse at Franciscan Media. They have it available for shipping. So if you haven't already pre-ordered it, you can order it now. They were sending them out today, and it's really cool. Once it comes out, we'll talk a little bit more about it. If you've pre-ordered on Amazon, I know a lot of people have pre-ordered on Amazon. I expect them to be going out any day now as well. Their official release date is February the 26th, but I think it's going to be earlier than that. So I'm really excited about the book. I think it's going to help to bring a lot of people closer to our Lord, and that really is the goal. That was my goal. That's a passion of mine, is to try to bring people closer to Christ, and I think that will, I'm praying that the book will be able to do that for you. I also got some information in the mail today from my friends at Mystic Monk Coffee. Now, you know they're one of the sponsors of this program, and that if you order Mystic Monk Coffee through my website, followingthetruth.com, I get a commission for anything that you purchase. Now, listen to this. They got some new flavors. They have cinnamon coffee cake. It contains rich essences of cinnamon, hazelnut, and brown sugar. I'll tell you, I've had this. This is really good, and it smells great. They also now have Pasca Java, which is white chocolate, spices, and bourbon, combined with the very best Arabica coffee. Pasca Java is the same as Jingle Bell Java. It's just renamed for the Easter season. It's a great flavor. They're also offering an Easter Sunrise blend, which is a special blend that they do each year for Easter. They have a tea. They also make tea, so they have a tea sampler. And they have on the notice here that all orders over $45 receive free shipping. So I would encourage you, if you're a coffee fan, to please check out the great coffee at Mystic Monk. If you do it from my website, followingthetruth.com, that helps me to keep this program on the air. So I thank you in advance for that. And also, I want to remind you, if you would consider, if you're an Amazon shopper, if you would consider going to, when you go to Amazon to order something, if you would just go to my website first, followingthetruth.com, and click on the Amazon link and go into Amazon that way, that would help me, because anything you would purchase would result in a little bit of a commission for me. Again, every little bit helps. That's the way I keep this program on the air, and that's the way I keep it free of charge, that plus the donations that I receive. I'm very grateful for your support, so I thank you in advance for anything you can do there. Okay, beverage du jour time. Here we go. You ready? You know, by the way, I think I'm falling into a rut. Yes, it's McDonald's coffee again. I need to break out of this rut. I need to do some Mystic Monk coffee, but right now the only kinds I have are, I think, the really strong flavors, and that doesn't work too well at night for me because that keeps me awake at night. But I'm going to get some new Mystic Monk, so I'll be able to talk about it on the air and feature it for my beverage du jour. At any rate, I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad you're hanging out with me. It's going to be a good show. We're going to talk about Jesus, so why don't we get right to it? Let's pray first, and then we'll look at the material about Jesus being the greatest teacher of all time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for this opportunity to come together on Blog Talk Radio and to learn more about you, to learn about your son, Jesus. And we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as we continue down this Lenten path. We ask you to guide us and to help us to grow closer to you through your son, Jesus, and the help of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you help those who are struggling tonight. Many people who are lonely need your help. Many who are anxious. Many who are struggling financially or dealing with addictions. Some people on the verge of despair. We ask you to help them all. We ask you to help us with our own personal intentions, especially those things that sometimes keep us separated from you because we get too distracted. We ask you to help us with all of those. And I give you this program, Father in heaven, and I ask you to speak through me today and to please send your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds so that we're receptive to your message. We ask for all these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thank you again for tuning in. My name is Gary Zimek, and I don't always sound like this in case you're a new listener. I'm just recovering from a cold. But I want to let you know that we do this program every Monday through Friday at in the evening on Blog Talk Radio. I usually load the podcast up around 7 or 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can download it at any time after that. We're in the midst of doing a Lenten radio retreat where we're focusing on Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus, throughout the Lenten season. And we're also reading the daily mass reading. So with that in mind, if you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. With that in mind, let's take a look at chapter 9 of Matthew's book, The Greatest Teacher Ever. Simple is not the same as easy. People often confuse simple for easy. Jesus' teachings were radically simple. Experts have a special talent for complicating things. But the standout genius in any field is always the person who is able to take what is incredibly complex, break it down to what is essential, and present it in a way that makes it seem simple. Spiritual leaders of all types throughout history have often complicated the path to God in ways that have made it almost impossible for the average person to walk the path. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, but by the time of Jesus, these had evolved into 613 laws. The simplicity of Jesus' teaching was radical in contrast to the stifling effect that these 613 laws had on daily life. Jesus' teachings were radical in content and method, but they also provide unique insight into the mind of God. In many ways, reading the Gospels is a tour through the mind of God. Each parable or teaching, each encounter Jesus has with a person highlights what God cares about and what he doesn't. The life and teachings of Jesus Christ help us to understand God's priorities so that we can get our own priorities right. The content of his teachings was radical because it focused on conversion of the heart rather than external behaviors. The method of his teachings was radical because his primary teaching tool was the parable. He used stories and metaphors that ordinary people could understand. This meant that his teachings were accessible and practical to ordinary people, especially the uneducated. And one of the things that I want to focus on throughout this Lenten retreat is the fact that so many times, even when we try to do something for Lent, because I've done this many times, pardon me, one of the problems that we sometimes have is that we practice the external devotions, whatever they may be, giving up something or doing something, but we never think about why it is that we're doing what we're doing. And what happens, what could happen, is that we can really go through the motions and perform a series of external steps. And as I did when I gave up sweets for so many years and I gave up other things, I never thought about what I was doing. And it is possible, pardon me, it is possible for us to do these things, to give something up and yet not really grow any closer to our Lord during Lent. We want to make sure that we don't do that. We want to make sure that we're growing closer to Him. So yes, it can be very beneficial to give up something for Lent, but never lose sight of why you're doing what you're doing. And also make sure you take steps that you will be able to take steps that will allow you to grow closer to our Lord, which is what we're doing here. And that's one of the reasons I'm featuring this book for the retreat this year. The gospel may be difficult to live, Matthew Kelly writes, but it is unrelentingly simple in its teaching. The gospel is radically simple, and there is genius in its simplicity. What Jesus taught was radical, and how he taught also was radical. The four gospels contain rare insights into the genius of the mind of God. Realizing this changes the way we read the gospels. As we ponder the various situations and circumstances of Jesus' life and reflect on his words and actions, it becomes clear what he was doing. He was constantly trying to get to the root of every situation, to explore the root of every problem, to expose and transform the root of each person's heart. But to discover the gospels in this way, we have to ponder them. This is different from just reading them. And I want to just add something here, if I could. There can be a tendency that some of us have to speed read through the Gospels, especially when we're really familiar with the stories. Now, tonight, when we read the Gospel from today's Daily Mass, you're going to hear words that you've heard a million times in the past. Don't let them go in one ear and out the other. Take some time to really ponder the words of our Lord, because this is a very powerful message. All right, back to the book. It's different from just listening to them in church on Sunday. By definition, ponder means to consider something deeply, thoroughly, to meditate upon. To meditate means to engage in a spiritual exercise for the purpose of reaching a heightened level of spiritual awareness. Where is this in our lives? Who around you is striving for a heightened level of spiritual awareness? I'll tell you who had it. Mary. We read in Luke's gospel, Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. What was she pondering? She was pondering the happenings of Jesus' life. Mary was the first to ponder the gospel. She witnessed the life and teachings of Jesus unfolding before her very eyes, the ordinary and the radical. Jesus' life was radical and beautiful, and his teachings are radical and beautiful. What was his most radical teaching? We could debate this question endlessly, but one of the great dangers when it comes to Jesus and his teachings is to depersonalize the conversation. So perhaps a better question to explore would be, which of Jesus' teachings do you find it most difficult to live? Man, that's a tough question, isn't it? Because I know I struggle with certain teachings of our Lord, especially the one where he tells us that we have to love our enemy. That's challenging. And I think a lot of people struggle with that one. But certainly they are simple to understand, the teachings of Christ, but not very easy to put into practice. Okay, Matthew says Jesus isn't just a teacher. He's the greatest teacher who ever lived. He isn't just a genius. He is genius. His words are the most influential in history. We discover that for ourselves when we open our hearts and our minds to how these words are inviting us to change. And during this Lenten season, the Lord is inviting us to change. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. So let's continue to be open to that change. Point to ponder, Jesus wants to teach you how to live an incredible life. And I would add on to that a question. Are you willing to let him teach you? verse to live. Matthew 7:24. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house upon rock. Question to consider. Have you ever really considered Jesus to be your teacher? Now, I think that is an excellent question, because quite often, so many times, we don't look at Jesus as a teacher or as my personal teacher, right? And that's something that we really need to consider. Finally, the prayer, Jesus, teach me how to be a great student. And notice what we're doing with that prayer. We're not just trying to be a great student on our own, but rather we are asking the Lord to help us. And I think that is crucial. It is absolutely crucial to not just try to learn what the Lord wants you to learn on your own, but to ask him for help in being a great student. So let's do that. Let's say, Lord, please help us to be good students, and please teach us. We want you to teach us. We want you to show us how we can change, how we can grow closer to you. Pardon me. Man, I tell you what, I'm hurting a little bit here, but we're going to get through this. We're going to do our best to get through this because we got some good stuff coming up. I need to take a sip of my coffee. And I tell you that because if I just take my sip of my coffee and don't say anything, you're going to wonder where I went. That's the difficulty of doing radio sometimes. I can't just pause because then you'll think something happened or I dropped out of my chair or whatever or took off. But no, I'm still here. Let's take a look at the daily mass readings today. Again, these are really good ones. The first reading comes from the book of Esther. Queen Esther, seized with mortal anguish, had recourse to the Lord. She lay prostrate upon the ground together with her handmaids from morning until evening and said, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, blessed are you. Help me, who am alone and have no help but you. For I am taking my life in my hand. As a child, I used to hear from the books of my forefathers that you, O Lord, always free those who are pleasing to you. Now help me, who am alone and have no one but you, O Lord, my God. And now come to me, come to help me, an orphan. Put in my mouth persuasive words in the presence of the lion, and turn his heart to hatred for our enemy, so that he and those who are in league with him may perish. Save us from the hand of our enemies. Turn our mourning into gladness, and our sorrows into wholeness. Now this is a good passage today, because what I like about this is Queen Esther, who's in trouble. Her people are in trouble, and she's turning to the Lord. I like what she pointed out. She said, as a child, I used to hear from the books of my forefathers that you, O Lord, always free those who are pleasing to you. Now, you and I, when we read the Bible, we'll see countless stories of the Lord coming to the assistance of people who needed his help and who turned to him for help. And sometimes we can look at these stories as just historical examples, and we forget that the same God who helped the people throughout the pages of the Bible can help us too. And that's essentially what Queen Esther is doing. She's saying, Lord, in the past, I know as a child, I've heard, excuse me, that you came through for your people. Now she's saying, help me. I'm alone and have no one but you. And that can be our prayer this evening as well, to turn to the Lord and to ask him to help us with whatever it is that we're going through. And he's got quite a history of helping people. We not only see it in sacred scripture, but if we look in our own lives, we can see numerous occasions where the Lord came to help us as well. And really, if we've seen him in the past come through for us, what would stop him from doing it in the future? God never changes, remember that. So if God did it in the past, he certainly will do it in the future. And we start to have more confidence in him when we see this. So please, ask the Lord for what you need. You're going to hear more about this when we get to the gospel. The responsorial psalm comes from Psalm 138. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. In the presence of the angels, I will sing your praise. I will worship at your holy temple and give thanks to your name because of your kindness and your truth, for you have made great above all things your name and your promise. When I called, you answered me. You built up strength within me. Your right hand saves me. The Lord will complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. And the words of the psalmist here in Psalm 138 remind us of the fact that the Lord does answer. He will answer you too. Don't think that he won't, because he really will answer you. Now, let's look at the gospel. Again, this is a very familiar gospel passage, but I don't want you to overlook it. Sometimes we can become a little too desensitized when it comes to these gospel messages, because we've heard them so many times. So let's do that. Let's take a look at this gospel. Now, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, once again, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets." Now, again, we've heard it so many times, ask and you shall receive, right? We use this phrase constantly. But we tend to ignore it, especially when we're praying for a particular intention and we're not receiving an answer. We start to question the Lord and start to sometimes can even say that he doesn't answer our prayers. But really what's happening is his answer can be wait, his answer can be yes, or his answer can be no. No is a valid answer. When Jesus tells us that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock and the door will be open to us, he also goes on to qualify this, to give us a little bit more of an explanation. And he states that everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. But which of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread, or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you, who are wicked, then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? But now there is that potential that exists for us to ask for something we might think is good, but our Father in heaven knows that it's not good for us. He knows that it'll hurt us. And I always give the example of another job. You could be praying for a job that pays more money, but that job can somehow lead you to spend more time away from your family. That job could make you rely less on the Lord because it pays more money, and you might start to have the false idol of material things and wealth. But again, that's something we might not be able to know for sure. But the Lord, who knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows what we need, he's not going to give us something that's bad for us. It's hard for us to accept that sometimes, especially if we have our minds made up and we really want something. But ultimately, he does know what's best. So here's what I challenge you to do today. I challenge you to ask for the things that you need in your life. Whatever you think you need, provided it's not completely frivolous, I would say go ahead and ask for it. But at the same time, trust and tell the Lord. Tell him that you're going to accept whatever he gives, because you know that he loves you, which he does, and you know that he knows best. Am I happy when I sometimes get denied things that I want? No, I'm not. I'm not happy, but I realize that God knows best. He really does. So even though I might not be ecstatic because the Lord says no, I've learned, and you could do this too, to thank him anyway. If he says no to me, I say, thank you, Lord. I don't have to feel good about it, but I can use those words because in my mind, I know that he knows best. He's God. Of course he knows best. And I know that he loves me. So he wouldn't give me anything that could harm me. And when he says no to me, what does that tell me? That tells me that I don't always know what's best for me. Because if the Lord has to say no sometimes, it tells me that I don't always know what's best. So keep that in mind when you pray. And really consider, use this Lenten season to try to be more accepting of what the Lord sends you, even if it might not be something that you want. All right, we have a couple minutes here. I want to close with some meditations from, we read from this book last night, Thoughts and Reflections for Lent. This is a book by Cardinal Richard Cushing. This book came out in 1963. And here's a little meditation on a time of prayer. But what is prayer? Check this out. Lent is the time of prayer. But what is prayer? The disciples asked the Master, Lord, teach us to pray. Then the best known words in our language were given them and us in the Lord's Prayer. Let us say that prayer again, slowly, testing each word to its depths. Our Father, a turning from creatures to the Creator, a momentary shaking off tangible existing things to center our minds on the source of all existence. With St. Thomas Aquinas, we observe parenthetically, sin is the inordinate turning from the Creator to his creatures. With confidence, we now turn to him. Let me just go back to that one, because that sentence sounded a little confusing, but it was pretty powerful. We observe with St. Thomas Aquinas that sin is the inordinate turning from the Creator to his creatures. In other words, things or people become more important to us than the Lord, and we say no to the Lord and yes to the pleasure that we're seeking. That's something that can be a real problem. With confidence, we now turn to him, for he is a Father, and he is ours. He has given us life. He has fathered our very being. We owe him reverence. But he has a Father's love for us. That should temper fears and hesitancy. With confidence, we go to him, whose task it is to sustain us in all our weaknesses and needs, our Father. Nice, isn't it? Nice little meditation. And I'm going to try to mix in some more of these as we go forward. Taking a look at the books I have lying around here. Another book that I used last year, maybe even in the year before, was a book called Lenten Lollipops by Father Francis Boylan. And don't let the title fool you. This is a deep book. It's got some great little meditations. And I think I'll share some of those as we go forward too. Just if we have extra time on some nights, we'll give you something else to think about. But I really want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I hope you enjoyed the program. Hope you're enjoying this retreat. And please keep in touch. Let me know if there's anything that I can do for you, if you have any questions about any of the material that we're discussing, or if you need some encouragement, whatever. I am praying for you, and I would ask you to pray for me, if you wouldn't mind. And please pray for everyone who is making this Lenten radio retreat. My goal is that we all grow closer to Christ, and by the end of Lent, we're closer to him than when we started this retreat. And that really is my goal. That's a very doable goal. We can certainly achieve that. Let's continue to take it one day at a time. Let's continue to take it one day at a time, and each day ask the Lord for the grace to grow closer to him. Sound good? Now remember, if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. I hope you can join us again on the program tomorrow. I'm going to be here. Hopefully my voice will sound a little bit better, but we'll see what happens. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a wonderful night, and God bless you.